Home program. Friday, April 26, 2013, Edison.
Vivo!
Vivo!
Very fortunate to have His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu and Mistress
Nirakula.
Nirakula Mataji. So let's welcome them with a loud. Some brief introduction. His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu, in his youth, as William Suzak, spent years searching for God and for the meaning of life. His prayers and intense austerities, which included vows of poverty, fasting, and silence, unusual for a teenager, were answered when a friend gave him a copy of Back to Godhead magazine in 1973. As soon as he saw the photo of founder A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada, the founder of the Hare Krishna movement, he knew that his search was over. The knowledge in the magazine inspired him so much that with the help of his mother, he immediately began visiting the ISKCON temple in San Francisco. Within a few months, he moved into the temple to become a full-time monk. In a short time, he received initiation from his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and then received the name Vaisheshika Das. Since then, he has devoted his life to the mission of his spiritual master. He has been continuously reading, studying, and distributing to the masses the Vedic knowledge contained in the translations and commentaries of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Since 1973, Vaisheshika Prabhu has been traveling, lecturing, counseling, and inspiring devotees and other serious aspirants of spiritual life throughout the world. Recently, Vaisheshika Prabhu has begun initiating disciples into the disciplic succession that has inspired him so, fulfilling the order of his Guru Maharaj to perpetuate his teachings and spiritual movement for the uplifting of the whole human society. He currently lives in San Francisco, California. He is the president of the temple ISKCON Silicon Valley and has implemented many projects there, including the new temple in Mountain View, California, which was mainly built on the basis of book distribution. And is a source of book distribution not only in North America, throughout the world. It inspires devotees throughout the world for distributing books, and we are very fortunate to have him here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I'm going to switch over to this. Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Stapitam Nera Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam, Sri Gurun Vaishnavascha, Sri Rupam Sagratatam, Sarana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Pancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Kyaevacha Adhyatanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare And it's a true honor to be here with all of you here today. This is the essence of the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was on the earth just a few minutes ago. Geological time is pretty much a few minutes ago that he was with us, dancing and spreading his Sankirtan movement. And we are all the recipients of that vibration that he's left behind, and which has been passed down to us through the cyclic succession. That vibration enlivens the soul. It wakes up the soul. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, jeev jago, gora chandra bole. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is calling out, wake up, and so are the Vedas. Tamasi ma jyotirgamai. Don't stay sleeping in the material world. Now you have the opportunity to break free. When the baby is born, he's thinking, is this world safe? And the answer is no, not safe. Padam padam yat vipadam. At every step there's danger, and we are being assailed from every direction as soon as we come into this world. It's not a stable environment, and it's not our home. But Krishna has come to give this message that we do have a home in the spiritual world, that eternal abode, prastasmatu bhavo nyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha yaksak sarvishu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashati. That place is permanent, it's full of effulgence, and we never return. And once the soul realizes that my birth in this world, which is fraught with death at any time, and during which I must struggle from beginning to end. Is that true or true?
Yes.
That now there's an answer. It comes in the form of this vibration, this optimistic vibration coming from the spiritual sky, first sent down to us through the flute song of Krishna. When Brahma was in darkness, he simply prayed. And went by his prayer, his prayers were answered with the vibration coming from Divine Saraswati, who gave him the mantra. And through the mantra and performing that, the flute song of Krishna entered within his eight ear holes. And from that came the Omkar, came the Gayatri, came the Kama Gayatri, came the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. Chaturshloki Bhagavatam expanded into 18,000 verses. And all this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanat Goswami, Maya Mukta Jivaranahi Swata Krishna Gyan, because the living entity doesn't wake up on his own. But upon hearing the vibration that Veda Vyas has made available to everyone by dividing up the Vedas, by writing Mahabharats, by making the Gita available, and then the crest jewel of all Shastras, the Srimad Bhagavatam, this will wake up the soul. And it's the most exciting news in the universe. There is no other news. Everything else is boring. The big news is that Krishna has come to get us. and that we're not part of this world. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami that when the astrologer went to make the poor man was suffering because he had no money and no means and no prospect in life. And then after looking at his chart, the astrologer said, but this is a mistake, because actually your father was the richest man in the whole country. And he left you his entire inheritance. And I know where it is. You just have to dig it up. I'll even tell you how to dig it. Now, how long does it take for that man to change his mood in life? Approximately. Half an hour? Does he have to think about it for a while? No? What do you say? What is your name?
Lakshmi.
Lakshmi, how long does he have to think about it? A poor man, when he finds out that he's the richest man now.
Half a second.
Half a second? Let's give Lakshmi a hand. I think she's got the answer. Half a second. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said it's exactly the same when the jiva soul is walking along, minding his own business, in a morose state of mind, thinking of all the different anxieties he has to deal with, and everyone has to deal with anxieties. Yes or yes? Or is it just me? Anxieties constantly flood into the mind, but when we find out we're not part of this world, we're part of the spiritual world. This is what causes the residents of the spiritual world to dance. Evam prasanna manaso. The mind becomes blissful, happy. Immediately we find out nothing to do with this material world. Asanga khyayam purushaha. I don't have any connection to the material world. All of it's imagined. All of it's a dream. Wake up. So this is what we're distributing. We're giving the best news in the universe. Everything else is anxiety. CNN, anxiety. Every news channel, anxiety. Newspaper, waste of time. You don't need it. But what you do need is Bhagavatam, the vibration of the Bhagavatam. Nashtra prayushu patrishu nityam bhagavata sevaya. It's service. And by that service, all the anxieties are dissolved. The subtle body is dissolved. The spiritual soul awakens. Nitya siddha krishna prema sadhya kabunoi shravanadi shuddha chitte karu udvaya. What's there naturally, love for God, awakens just by hearing the vibration. That's what we're doing. That's our family business. That's what we're distributing. So tonight, we're going to look at our legacy. As the sampradaya. Sampradaya means the complete gift. That's what the word means. It's the complete gift. We've been giving a gift free of charge. In fact, last night we heard from Chaitanya Jivan. He was saying one of the things he first appreciated by Prabhupada's message was, it's free, it's free, it's free. Because he kept going around to everybody and they'd say, here's the mantra, now give me $35. And Prabhupada said, free mantra, it's for everybody, all times, all places, all circumstances, just take it. And that's what the sampradaya is. Why was it that Sugadev Goswami spoke to Srimad Bhagavatam? The answer comes, Sudha Goswami says, out of mercy. Out of mercy, out of a sense of mercy. Why were the sages at Naimasaranya for a 1,000-year seminar? To figure out how to give mercy to all the people in Kali Yuga. This is the preoccupation of advanced souls. They don't have anything else to do. They're not wrapped up in CNN. They're not wrapped up in the anxieties of the world. And when you're not, then you're a Mahatma. And Mahatma means big soul. It means you've got room to think about everybody else. The Kripana can only think, my poor little world is being whittled away at. But when somebody becomes a Mahatma, Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashita, comes under the protection of the divine nature, that person is big-hearted and is only thinking, how can I do good for others? That's our movement. Parupakar, that's all we're doing, is thinking how to do good for others. We've been given the biggest gift. It's such a big gift, we can't pay it back, ever. So we're passing that gift along. That's our legacy. That's what we do. That's our family business, to give, to give, to give. Advaita Acharya, who is Mahavishnu himself, had called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come. He discovered a verse in the Shastra. He remembered it, that if you offer the Lord a little bit of Ganges water and a tulsi leaf, he's purchased. This is Krishna. Krishna is so merciful, so kind. If you offer with love and devotion Ganges water, tulsi leaf, he's purchased. So Advaita Acharya had one request. as he offered Ganges water and Tulsi leaves over and over again. Please come down, Krishna. Only you can deal with this obscurity in Kali Yuga, which is affecting everyone. The age of quarrel. Prayanal payusha sabhya kalavas minyugejana mannasumanda matayo mandya pagya hupadrita. In the Iron Age of Kali, men have much short lives. They're quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. And it's a fact. I just traveled all around India, all around Europe, and everywhere we went, there's always some disturbance, and it's usually a cell phone going off. So we have a rule where we have programs that you turn your cell phone on, please leave it on, and turn it up so that it's off the buzzer so you can hear the ringer. So when it goes off in class, because when it does, you have to buy one set of Srimad Bhagavatams. It's only $220. Is everybody in? Raise your hand if you're in. Come on. Okay. If you're in, raise your hand. Okay, so anybody didn't raise your hand that when your cell phone goes off, then you have to pay $220. Okay, so turn them on. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's his prerogative to appear. He's an avatar. He appears from beyond our perspective into this material world. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared with a mission. Simple mission. Simple missions pass on easily. It's not complicated. It's very, very simple what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. He gave two things. One thing is chant Hare Krishna. Everyone say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
The other is teach others. Everyone say teach others.
Teach others.
So the two parts of our mission are?
Chant Hare Krishna and teach others. Chant Hare Krishna and teach others. Chant Hare Krishna and teach others. Chant Hare Krishna and teach others.
See? Easy, right? Okay, so it's an easy mission to pass on. Two things, that's all you have to know. Chaitanya and Nityananda opened a marketplace. The marketplace means they wanted to expand it everywhere. It's not just for a few people. It's not just for a certain class of people. It's meant to be marketed everywhere. This niche market is every living entity. Everyone, everywhere, in all times, in all places, in all circumstances. Magi vana magi keha patra va apatra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't care who asked for it, who didn't ask for it. He just gave. He didn't care who was qualified or unqualified. He just gave. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No consideration. In fact, the acharyas in our line say, Mahaprabhu is like the emperor who gets intoxicated. And Mahaprabhu is intoxicated in the love of God. Correct? Correct. So, imagine the emperor. He's the wealthiest man. He's got everything. He gets so intoxicated, he goes into his treasury. He gathers up all the most valuable jewels, puts them in a bag, walks down to the common road, and begins to give them out for free to anybody who walks by. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's got the most precious gift, but he's giving it out without any consideration who's fit or unfit candidate. Here's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Everyone say,
everybody.
And look at this, Mahaprabhu dancing through the streets of Miami, Florida. And that's now not an unusual sight, is it? Down Fifth Avenue, down the major streets of the world. This is happening now. This is real. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement after his disappearance was hidden. It went underground. Oftentimes after the great incarnation leaves, after the great acharya leaves, there can be disturbance. There can be dissipation of the mission, and that's what happened. It had become dissipated. In fact, Gaudiya Vaishnavas were not well respected for some time after Mahaprabhu's disappearance, long time after, because the actual teachings passed down from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they became obscured, and many upper sampradayas came up. Many apasiddhantas were being taught here, there, and everywhere. And Gaudiya Vaishnavas, if someone came to your door, people would say, just give him something, tell him to go away. No one considered them very highly, like they had much to offer. All these esoteric beautiful teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have become lost. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur reintroduced them. In fact, at a time in India when the British were doing their best to obscure the mission of the Vaishnavas and of the teachings of Hinduism in general by discrediting the whole culture, saying that it was primitive, and saying that they worshipped idols, and many other kinds of subterfuge to keep people disorganized. There was a lot of confusion, even amidst the intelligentsia in Hindu society. And many people were taking to things like Brahmoism, which was a concoction, a combination of some of the teachings of the Vedas along with Christianity and some Mayavad thrown in. And there were many different sects like this amongst the intelligent, leading Hindus in society. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in the elite groups of thinkers at the time. And he broke away. When he discovered the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw, after looking at all the different world literatures, religious teachings, he said, "This is perfect. This brings everything together in a perfect synthesis that can be spread all over the world. This is actually the real message." So he brought it back to light. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote hundreds of books, and he started book distribution. He sent books from India overseas. In fact, one of those books is now up in Canada. He sent to McGill University. Some devotee has that book right now, the original book that he sent. But imagine that he was sending to the great scholars of the world, Emerson and Thoreau, who were contemporaries, and he had this idea that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message should be spread all over the world, that this is the perfect message. And he predicted that this would happen. So he reintroduced this marketplace. He opened at Serbikunj. He said, "The marketplace is now open." And he had an entire scheme for marketing, just like Amway. Anybody have Amway? It takes work to make a marketing plan like Amway. You really got to think about it. There's all kinds of levels and the way people get paid and where you buy the product. This is where it all came from. This is where Amway got their idea from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is multi-level marketing, network marketing of the holy name. And this group, what we're doing, what you're doing here, bringing everyone together, this is just what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. He wanted people to meet. Big temples are troublesome in this day and age. They're very troublesome. But Sankirtan's not troublesome. It's the only thing in Kali Yuga that's not troublesome. Maintaining anything in Kali Yuga is difficult. Not getting into an argument is difficult in Kali Yuga. Not gaining weight in Kali Yuga is difficult. But what's not difficult is doing Sankirtan. If you just do Sankirtan, there's no problem. Kalir dosha nidhe rajan asti hiko mahadgunan. Kirtana deva krishna sya mukta sangha param vajet. It's one good thing. There are many good causes. There's only one great cause. That's Sankirtan. That's the congregational chanting of the holy names. That's spreading the holy name for the benefit of everybody. It's giving, 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 with no consideration of return, following the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Jivar doi Krishna nam sarva dharma sar. This is the essence of all religion. To widely spread the holy name, to give it to other people. This is real dharma, to show mercy to the living entities. That's advanced devotional service. It means worshiping Krishna who's in everyone's heart, and going from person to person as if each person was a temple of God, because they are. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmai vadbud vijanataha tatrako mahakashoka ekatvam manupashitaha yastu sarvani bhutani atmani manupashiti sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatuna vijugupsite. One who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and sees the Supreme Lord within everything never hates anything or any being. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks and quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? And Lord Shiva says, tapyante lukatapena sarava prayasojana, that the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead who's in everyone's heart is to take some austerity, some tapasya, for the sake of giving them mercy. That's the best kind of worship of Krishna. It's following the footsteps of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the marketplace. It's the marketplace. We are marketing the holy name far and wide, using all our skills to do that. That's following in the footsteps of the great acharyas. Thakur Bhaktivinoda predicted that the personality who would spread Krishna consciousness all over the world would soon appear. He also prayed for a ray of Vishnu to appear in his family. In other words, his preoccupation in life, despite the fact that he had 10 or 11 kids and that he was a high court judge, was to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. That's what he was really thinking about 24 hours a day. And if you notice in the Nectar of Instruction, chapter, text number 5, Krishneti yasi giritam manasadriyeta, in the purport, Prabhupada describes the Uttama Adhikari. He says, among the Uttama Adhikari follows the process of chanting Hare Krishna steady, and is always thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. This is our line. This is in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming down from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Bhaktivinoda Parivar, which we're in, is preoccupied with spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. That's our line. That is our family business. If we were born in an Italian family, we'd probably have a delicatessen. But we're born in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's family. So we are into distributing the holy names in all its forms, all over the world, whichever way we can. That requires a little drink. We come from a great line of acharyas whose standard was pure devotional service, unmotivated and uninterrupted. Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj in our line dedicated 24 hours a day to chanting the pure name of the Lord. And once a great industrialist from Calcutta who had everything realized that there's one thing I don't have, it's a guru. So I'm going to go get a guru, and the best one is Gaurakishore. So he went there and he thought, I'll just get this initiation and then I'll give him some dakshin, everything will be fine. Now I'll have everything. So he went to Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He said, Maharaj, please, I'm here at your feet. You give me initiation into this chanting, and please, I'll reciprocate in any way. And he was thinking, what could he want? He lives out in a field. Maybe a little hut? I can afford that, no problem. Build him a house. So Maharaj said to him, one thing, Dakshin, I ask, you sit down here, don't go home. And that man ran away. That's our standard. We're coming from this line of people. They stay to propagate Krishna consciousness. They're always there for the holy name, not going anywhere else. This is the line that's being passed down to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who then took the mission of his father, his Shiksha Guru, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he spread it all over India. The Gaudiya Math was a huge success. They were the most elite thinkers. They were making publications to eradicate the ideas of Mayavad all over India, not a small task. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once said that, I do not want to leave enough space for a head of a pin for the Mayavadis to stand on here in India. That was his mission all over. He also sent an envoy to England. Three devotees went to England to try to start the movement there, and also to Burma. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted the movement spread all over the world. And when our Srila Prabhupada asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, what can I do to help this mission? Among some other simple instructions he gave him, he said, if you ever get money, print books. Let's see if we can all say this together. Try it again. Okay. Now let me try. You fill in the last part. True or false? If you ever get money, buy a boat. If you ever get money, go on a long vacation. If you ever get money, invest in the stock market. Okay, if you ever get money, but that's a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. If you ever get money, that's a 3. Let's go for a 7. 7 is a good place to be. If you ever get money, correct. All right. If you ever get money, print books, and that's just what Srila Prabhupada did. He came to America with no money, but trunks full of books. That's what he brought with him. And he spread that marketplace all over the world like no one had ever seen. He was the fulfillment of the prediction of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that a great soul would come and spread this all over the world. Prabhupada printed books, and he printed books, and he printed books. And he was involved in the process, every aspect of it. All the paintings he looked at, all of the printing he oversaw, he wanted to know the prices, he was fully involved in printing. And he had done it himself before he came to America. He's the one who bought the paper. He's the one who took it to the printer. He's the one who wrote the articles. And he's the one who distributed the Back to Godhead magazines. And in one of the articles in the Back to Godhead in the early days in Delhi, he wrote an article, Chronic Disease of Modern Man. No time. That's because he went around personally. Take a look at this. Please listen. And what did they say? Are they still saying it?
Yes.
Correct. So Prabhupada knew. He knew what book distribution was. He did it. He was the original book distributor in America. And when we used to go on morning walks with Prabhupada, he often asked, what are they saying? What are you telling them? What are they saying? He wanted to hear, just like you. When you all go out for your book distribution, you come back and say, what did they say? What did you say? Right? You do that, right? And that's what Prabhupada did. He was very much involved in this book distribution from start to finish. And look at this. Prabhupada's first pamphlet to advertise his Srimad Bhagavatam said, on this pamphlet, it says 60 volumes of elaborate English version. You know how many he had at the time he printed this?
Three.
Three volumes, but it was only the first canto. And here he says 60 volumes of elaborate English version. Prabhupada was not accustomed to thinking small. And he said, all over the world for scientific knowledge of God. Prabhupada had no money. He had no facility, he had no sponsor. And he's saying, all over the world for scientific knowledge of God. This is the kind of feeling we must have, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will back me. I come from Silicon Valley. People do startups there all the time. And to have a startup, you got to have capital. That's what they say. You got to have capital. And that's why people go to these investment bankers. And they say, okay, let me hear your idea. All right, we'll take a chance on you. And they write a contract, and then they develop something. Prabhupada had no capital, apparently. What he had was the best capital of all, the backing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, Jari dako tahika krishnu padesh amarak nai guru hanatare desh. He said, you do this, I'll back you. It's my order that backs you. And Srila Prabhupada says that the direct order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a manifestation of his internal energy. And is this particular manifestation by which one can come to see the Lord face to face. And Prabhupada took the order of his spiritual master and he held on to it. He focused on it. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kuru nandana. And from this verse in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, from the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he said over and over again that by focusing on the order of the spiritual master, one comes to all success in life. And that's exactly what Prabhupada did. And this is the miracle of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. If you just take the order, if you're broke, if you're invalid, blind, it doesn't matter what you are. If you take the order as your life and soul, Lord Chaitanya will back you. That's what's exciting about this movement. And you can go anywhere. You can go to the middle of Alaska. If you take this order and you chant the pure name, the Sankirtan movement will spread. Miracles will start happening. People will beat a path to your igloo to find out what's going on there. They'll want to know because the pure name always expands. And if you take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it will expand. In Silicon Valley, we started in a little house, our temple. A little house, small, much smaller than this one. That's where the deities were. Then we moved to a storefront where you could look in. It was like next to us was a barber shop. Down from that was a pizza place. It was a strip mall. And people would walk down, pizza, barber shop, Radha Krishna in the window. And then And then we moved to a commercial building, albeit a very, run-down place. And I used to tell the devotees all the time, this is Silicon Valley. Look at Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak. They started in a garage before they started Apple. And also Hewlett-Packard. Where did they start? In a garage. I said, that's what we're doing too. Start in a garage. Steve Jobs, they were in there tinkering away with their little invention, right? And then gradually it spread all over the world. So we are meant to be spiritual entrepreneurs. Spiritual entrepreneurs. And you start in a garage, but you start with the backing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no capital needed. And from there you can spread all over the world, just as Srila Prabhupada did. And that's exactly what he asked us to do. And this idea of printing books, this is an age-old process for changing the culture. This is not just some recent idea, but books change the world. Why do you think despots burn books when they take over a government? It's because books move people. They represent something. They represent an idea that has been codified so that people can follow it for time to come. And we see from examples, Prabhupada used to say in India that the communists were successful because they distributed millions of pieces of their literature, and then people got the idea, oh, this is a good idea. In Cuba, there was a revolution fomented by Fidel Castro. Everyone knows this, right? Fidel Castro was in jail, and his wife used to come visit him for conjugal visits. He smuggled out his ideas in writing, in lime juice. It was invisible until she'd take it out, expose it to the sun, recopy it, and pass it out to the masses. That's what made the revolution happen. America, Thomas Paine was one of the original revolutionaries over 200 years ago. He wrote an essay that was distributed to all the people in America at the time, telling them, don't take this oppression from the British, you rise up. And historians say that's what caused people to rise up. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tadbhag Visargo Janataga Viplavo Yasvin Prati Shlokam Abhyapi. Narada Muni says, this Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to create a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. A revolution. So we're doing something huge by distributing books. We're changing the whole world, and it will have its effect. It is having its effect. And therefore, Prabhupada said, print as many books in as many languages and spread throughout the whole world. This is our line. This is our family business. And now here comes the part where we all come in to get connected directly to Srila Prabhupada's mercy. He says, so kindly help me. This is my request. Shushru sho shadhana sya vasudeva kataru chi syam mahat seveya viprapunya tirta nisheva. By serving the great souls, the best kind of service is done. And by that service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Lord Vasudeva. Affinity means a kind of, it's your thing, it's the most meaningful thing for you. And by doing seva, and this is something Prabhupada specifically asked, please help me do this book distribution. Vigorously try for book distribution. And Krishna says it, there's no servant more dear to me than the person who spreads this message to the devoted. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, direct order, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. That's what we're doing. We're deputized by the order. And as I mentioned earlier, the direct order of the Lord, please say.
The direct order of the Lord is the manifestation of His eternal nature. And this is what the Lord is doing with the Lord.
Isn't that profound? The direct order of the Lord is a manifestation of His internal energy. That means if you take that order and you just apply it to your life, you'll be able to see Krishna face to face. That's what's taking us back home, back to Godhead. And serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this dasya ras, in this mood of working for him, menial work, which means spreading his movement, carrying boxes, organizing things, doing all the things it takes to spread the Sankirtan movement, that's what floods the heart with love for Radha Krishna, nothing else. We can't reach it independently. We can't approach Radha Krishna. We can't go to Vrindavan. We have no qualification. But if we serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, we'll gain all that. Everything will come from that. So simply by this attempt, so we call book distribution high sadhana. You learn about the world. You learn about people. You see the modes of material nature. Every door you knock on and people open, you get a snapshot into the lives of people in the world and how they're suffering and what they really need. You know, Prabhupada said before he came to America, he was sitting in Vrindavan. He wrote a poem, Vrindavane Bhajan. And in that bhajan, he said, everyone is sitting in their homes, looking out the window, down the road, wondering, when are Nitai and Gaur going to come and save me? That's what they're doing in there. Did you wonder what people were doing in their homes? They're looking out the window, wondering, when are Nitai and Gaur going to come save me? And when you go door to door, sometimes I was thinking, when I first started going door to door, knocking on people's door, I think, maybe I'm disturbing them. Not true. They're waiting for Nitai and Gaur. When you show them, look, Nitai and Gaur have arrived, they've become very happy, right? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Correct. So book distribution is high sadhana. Everyone say, book distribution is high sadhana. It's a rapid way to make spiritual advancement. You get superior strength and knowledge if you just try. Just try to do this. So here are four laws of book distribution. First is your sadhana must be strong. Please repeat. Number two, you must get books.
You must get books.
Three, the more you show, the more you sell.
The more you show, the more you sell.
And that's the one we always say twice because it's so important.
The more you show, the more you sell.
And number four, you must have books. Very good. Now, sadhana must be strict, serious, and sincere. These are three words Prabhupada used frequently. I just put them all together in one place. How is everybody?
Hot.
You're hot? Can we have more air? Can we open a window? It does help to have air.
I can open the window.
Get cross ventilation. Air is good. It increases the circulation. Oxygen. Thank you very much. That's beautiful. Fantastic. Okay. Sadhana. Sadhana is so sweet because we're afflicted by the senses. The great Vaishnava poet, Kamadinam katina katida palita durnideshas tesham jata mahina karuna natrapa no pashanti. He says, for how long and how many ways have I obeyed the bad masters of my senses? I didn't question them. They never gave me time off, and they never gave me mercy. But no more. Now my intelligence has awakened, and now, Krishna, I'm taking shelter of you. Now I'm approaching you for service. This is what I want in life. No more service to the senses. Minimize. Whatever you get, you get. That's it. For you guys, no more. Now I'm giving it to Krishna. I'm turning everything around. This is sadhana. This is relief. This is actual life. This is our happiness. Strict, serious, and sincere sadhana means you can actually enjoy life from within. And if you do that, you get a taste. You get a taste. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we heard earlier, he was singing about, without this taste, life is useless. Uselessly wasting your life here in the material world, practically drowning. If you don't get a taste, you've wasted it. You've lost everything. So get a taste. You have to get a taste. Every day you have to get a taste. When you pray on your japa beads, you have to beg. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through the lips of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his poem, he says, you beg for this holy name. You have to beg for it. And if you can get one mustard seed of inspiration from chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in one day, it's enough to control your senses completely the rest of the day. It's enough to overflow to share with your whole family Krishna consciousness. It's enough to share with this whole city of Edison. No, it's enough to flood the whole state of New Jersey. No, it's enough to actually flood the entire continent. No, it's enough to go across the ocean and flood the entire world. One mustard seed. No, the whole universe. One mustard seed of taste from chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rupa Goswami says, if you don't get this taste, you're doing Niyamagraha. You're simply going through the motions, so you have to beg for it, you have to get it. Don't go away empty-handed. This is the first law of book distribution. You can't distribute what you don't have. What we're actually giving to people is our ecstasy. It's the happiness we're getting from chanting the holy name. So you have to get it, you have to beg for it. There's no excuse, you have to get on your knees. You have to do whatever you have to do, but you have to get it. Otherwise, life goes by and we'll regret so much that we missed the chance. You have to take it. Once you have a taste, even a mustard seed of a taste for chanting Hare Krishna, then you can distribute the overflow. And that's exactly what we're doing. Why would anybody take their time to figure out how to sell full sets of Srimad Bhagavatams door to door? Why would anybody do that? Please tell me. I would like to know. Why would someone spend their time trying to figure out how to sell Srimad Bhagavatams door to door? Somebody please volunteer an answer.
Unless we tested ourselves.
Because they're mad about it, right? Because they love the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you. If you don't have a taste for the Bhagavad Gita, why would you go give it to other people? If you don't read the Bhagavad Gita, and every time Krishna says, Mom, me, unto me, you feel Krishna's presence in the word Mom. If you're not feeling that, why would you want to go give it to other people? You might think, I don't want to disturb them. They're reading their Wall Street Journal. Why do I want to disturb them with Bhagavad Gita? That's what I'll think if I don't have a taste. I'll think, maybe I'll sell something else. But if I'm getting a taste from the Bhagavad Gita, I'll think, why would I sell anything else? Why would I use my breath for anything else except teaching Bhagavad Gita? If I believe that Krishna says, there's no servant in this world more dear to me than this person who's teaching the Bhagavad Gita, why would I use my breath for any other thing? So we have to get this overflow from the taste that we're getting. And then the next law is, we must get books. Because, dear devotees, it's a law of thermodynamics, and if it's not, it should be, that you can't distribute books that you don't have. So, these books are so valuable. Originally, books were written down on palm leaves. It took so much trouble. You had to copy them by hand. Now, because we have high-speed digital printing, we can't take it for granted. And we live in America where there's still freedom. We go to some of these countries where you can't distribute books. I went to Vietnam to meet publishers to get the Bhagavad Gita printed in Vietnamese. And as soon as we were picked up at the airport by the devotees, they said, be really careful, they're watching you. Don't distribute anything in public because you'll end up in the police station. China, same thing. We had to stay undercover in a hotel and be very careful because somebody could tell on us and we'd end up, they could put us away for life for distributing Krishna conscious literature in China. Or probably more likely they would kick us out of the country, we could never come back, and anybody we were associated with there, they would be harassed by the government. This is what happens around the world. People are very afraid of books. In America, this is where Prabhupada came to America. He blessed this country. He also said, he thanked the Americans, you didn't hinder my progress. But don't take it for granted, the world can change, can't it? Can't the winds of time change everything and we become, you know, what we are taking for granted, an easy life living in America, the richest country in the world, and freedoms all over the place, don't take it for granted. Get these books while you can, distribute them. It's a window of opportunity. We're all here for a reason. You've all come from the most pious country in the world to this land of opportunity. You were sent here by Lord Chaitanya to do this work, to distribute these books and the message and the holy name to as many people as possible. Take advantage of every minute. It's so important. Multiple languages. There are so many languages now we have these books printed in. accommodate people in their own language is the most blissful thing you can do. This man was from Afghanistan. When I saw him, I said, Salam alaikum, alaikum salam, marhaba, kif halak, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And he said, oh, you pray to Mecca? He said, how many times a day? I said, 16 times. And he came over, he gave me a big hug. And then I showed him this book he's holding is in Farsi. And he was so excited, he wanted to know, where are all the other Farsi books? I would like to know also. And he took that book back to Afghanistan. That book is sitting somewhere in Afghanistan, some little village. He's a Muslim mullah. These books go everywhere. So get books, get them out there, innovate, make sure people get them. We have books in Chinese, we have books in Vietnamese, we have books in all the European languages. What a miracle! What did it take? The devotion it took for each devotee to translate it into their own language, the painstaking process of doing that and getting it printed and available, and it can still be shipped. We have still jet fuel available so these books can be flown all over the world. Get them while you can. Get books. Here it is, the one we always say twice. Let's try it. One more time. Correct. So, the more you show, the more you sell. This is a great miracle. Just driving from the airport the other day, we were looking at some of the billboards coming along. And I was just noticing, right in your face, everyone's saying, buy this, taste that, do this, don't do that. Everyone's got an idea. Why? Because it works. The little jiva soul's just purveying the whole universe. We're lost in eternity, floating around, brahmanda brahmate gong bhagyamanji, wandering, loitering. And when we see something, we go for it. So when you show Krishna, that's what the soul really wants. Abhishta doham, it fulfills the innermost desire of the soul, not tasty cakes. That used to be the big... Do you still have tasty cakes here? I worked at Philadelphia Airport for many years, and we used to drive by the factory. It had a big sign, tasty cakes, and it had a guy going like this. Selling tasty cakes. Once a devotee in Berkeley, California, wanted to make Bengali sweets. And he had a cart. He was taking him out. Actually, he was doing this, taking him out on the campus and selling them. So he told Prabhupada when he came there, Prabhupada had this business selling Bengali sweets. And one of our book distributors, who was very dedicated and who was selling the Chaitanya Charitamrita, had just come out. Prabhupada looked at both of them and he pointed to the book distributor and he said, he's selling the real Bengali sweets. So when you set up these tables, just make it available. These two young girls came over and they just started going through the books. Why? Because it was there. We didn't have to call them or anything like that. You just have them displayed and people will come over. Everyone's interested in Krishna. Here's the smart box. You have that here, right? Smart box. You're working on this smart box. It sells books while you're sleeping. Because it's a vending machine. It has a little price tag on here. It just says, $2, thank you. They put the money in the box, they walk away, you go fill up the box. And you can put these in all the stores. We have about 50 of them out around Silicon Valley, and every month they just go around and collect all the Lakshmi and then put more books inside. And you know what? The guy who owns the store, he then becomes a bona fide agent of Lord Chaitanya. From a convenience store, which is not only sinful, it's boring, it turns into an outlet for Lord Chaitanya's movement. That's how profound this is, the book distribution. Isn't that profound? It's fantastic. Here's the smart table. Here's Srivas Pandit, who's standing in front of the smart table, smiling, because what better job is there in the universe than just showing these books? It says down here, books on yoga, meditation, vegetarianism, and people all day long come over to see what they are. And here's the last of the four laws of book distribution. You must organize. Because you can do a little bit here and there. You can do a small amount. Good. One set of Srimad Bhagavatam sold. Whoever has the blue phone, just see me afterwards. You can write a check. I'll give it to the local temple president. 220, that's all. And we'll get you a set of Bhagavatams. 300
here.
300, okay. Even better. Luckier for all of you. Organize. You can do a little bit. If you don't organize, 600.
Then you give it to 400.
Oh, they don't want that. They don't know who he is. Okay. When you plan ahead, when you brainstorm, wars are won in the general's tent. You have to get together and look at things very carefully. How can it increase? There's a whole process for organizing that makes things better and better and better. And we call this ABS, Always Better Service. It means after every event that you produce, sit down and talk about what went well and where there's room for improvement. Make a list and make incremental improvements after every event. And then everyone gets excited about it. Here's Rasika Shekar. He passed away recently. It was a great shock to our entire community. He had dedicated his life to the Krishna Conscious Movement and to book distribution in particular. This is in his garage. When we were moving from one small center to another, he and his wife begged us to make their garage the place where all the books would be warehoused. And he and his family took care of them for years. He became a prolific book distributor, a general in our Sankirtan army there. And then one day he just suddenly passed away from a heart attack just recently, about a month after he had been initiated. So don't take our lifespan for granted either. He was in very good health, very robust, healthy person. He ate right, he exercised, everything. But Krishna just took him suddenly. And that can happen to any of us. So don't take even a second for granted. How is everybody now? Any question or comment before I move on to the next segment? Yes. Hare Krishna.
In book distribution, I felt a challenge, like how to approach, like there's some, other than Hindus, Indians, they know what Bhagavad Gita is, but other than Indians, like some are Chinese, American, how to approach them.
So her question, what is your name?
Sheffy.
Sheffy is asking about how to approach people who are not Indians. Indians know what Bhagavad Gita is. Chinese, Americans, or others, they might not know. So how to approach them? Boy, I find it almost the opposite. When I approach Indians, they say, I already know everything. Why would I want Bhagavad Gita? Other people saying, what an interesting book. Like we met an Indian man the other day. I had to call all the other devotees because he told me he knows everything. I knocked on the door, he came out and he goes, I know everything. I said, hold on, I got to go get all the other devotees because they got to meet you. I called him, I said, you got to get up here. This guy knows everything. Well, the way you just have to develop a repertoire. There's a key to everyone's heart, and you have to learn what it is. It's just like you learn your profession. What profession are you in?
I'm housewife.
Domestic engineer. The most challenging and important job in the universe, actually. And there's a way that you learn all the different ways in which to manage your household, take care of the kids, your husband, everything, right? So, similarly, there's a way that every single person has a key that unlocks their heart. Every single person. So you just have to learn that. And you can learn it through apprenticeship. You can watch somebody who knows how to approach people, and you'll gain confidence. You'll see, this can be done. And when you do it yourself a few times, then you'll have this inspiration that you want to expand your repertoire. You want to meet more and more people. At ISKCON Silicon Valley, in the beginning, the devotees who are primarily from India, we're approaching a lot of Indians because it seemed easy, especially at the Indian stores. But then we said, okay, now we have to branch out. And now they've become expert at meeting all kinds of people, Spanish-speaking people, Chinese, Vietnamese, and so forth. But I'll go over a little bit about how to distribute. But I can just tell you there's a way that people are from all walks of life are interested in Krishna consciousness. Oh, other questions? Comments? Yes?
In the previous slide, it said show books, right?
Yes.
So we just show them or?
The more you show, the more you sell. So your question is, do you just show them?
We just show or we talk or?
You can do either. The main point is to get out there, to do it, to show one place, one way or the other. Because how many books will you sell if you leave him in the house? Approximately how many? If you don't take him out, how many will you sell? Approximately zero, right? And now if you take them out and you show them, what if you didn't say anything? If you just walked, you went to a busy corner and you just stood there with some books like this, how many do you think you'd sell? We have no idea, but it's much higher than zero. You know, the fact is, I see in Vrindavan every year when I go for Kartik, there's these Russian devotees. They always go and buy a bunch of books, and they stand there. They don't speak any Hindi. They don't even speak English or anything. They just speak Russian. And they just stand there with a little bunch of books, and they just hold them out in the crowd. And they're not standing out there because they're not selling books. People just come by, and they just take them. You know, here's how to sell books. Let me tell you right in a nutshell. And I'll tell you in a story. Back in the early 70s, Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles. And there was a couple there, newlywed couple, Sudama and Chintamani. Both Americans, through and through. Both spoke one language, English. Prabhupada calls them up to his room, and he says, "You two go to Japan and open a center there." Now, how would you feel about that? But Prabhupada, like they said, we don't speak Japanese. And you know what Prabhupada said? And here's the key to selling books in any language, or preaching Krishna consciousness, or opening a center. He said, if your house is burning down, and you don't speak the local language, how do you get help?
Scream,
shout, what? What else? Dance up and down, whatever you have to do, right? If it's urgent, and your house is burning down, and you speak the language, you're going to get help. You grab a bucket, you point to the fire, you do whatever you have to do, right? That's what it takes. That's what it takes. You just, if you have the urgency to distribute, people pick up on it. They'll want to do it. So they went to Japan, and they were a huge success, not speaking Japanese. It comes from the heart. It's a kind of enthusiasm that you have. Where there's a will, there's a way. What was your question?
Is it enough to just show?
Yeah, if you start there, and then you'll start innovating. Prabhupada also said when there were, we had a party called the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust Traveling Party. It was like a party we were working directly for the BBT to get book distribution going in the early 70s. And we would be sent around to different places to train devotees how to distribute books. So three of the leaders of our team went to see Prabhupada in his room in Vrindavan in 1975, the year the temple opened. And they asked Prabhupada about what we should be telling the devotees. And he said, teach them to be sincere. And then he said, because if you are sincere, and then he made a big sweeping motion with his hand, then the master within your heart will teach you how to do it. That's what Prabhupada said about book distribution. So when you go out and you try to show books and innovate, Krishna teaches you from within. He'll show you things. He'll do it more like this, do less like that. You'll have your own experiences. So you can just show, and if you show and tell, all the better. But everything works. As soon as you take the books out, it'll work. You just have to try, that's all. And here's the thing. We're just going out because it's service. You don't have to sell any books. Don't feel any pressure at all to sell anything. Don't try for that. Just go out because it's the direct order of the Lord, and it's Prabhupada's order. And if you try, you'll get superior strength and knowledge and Krishna consciousness and get purified. Don't put any pressure on yourself that you have to perform. We just want to go out and be ambassadors of goodwill. Just go out and meet people and leave them with a good impression. And if you just do that, your sadhana will become so powerful. Your chanting becomes more intense. Everything you do, you'll want to read the books more because then you'll start thinking, what's in these books? We'll never come to the end of them. But when you're actually teaching people to take the books, read the books, then you start thinking, what's in them? I want to know more. I have this experience all the time. When I sell a book and I see someone sit down and read it, I think, what are they getting? You know, I want to see it. I'll walk behind them and I'll look and see, what are they reading for the first time? It's so powerful. Then it makes me appreciate what we have. This is why you should go out. Self-purification. Don't worry about the result. Just be an instrument. Just do your best, and if nobody takes, no problem. There's no quota or score here. It's just we're doing this because it's glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay? Yes, in the back. So in the beginning I said there's ignorance, 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 or misery, misery. And what did I say? Ignore it? Well, if you're engaged in devotional service, then you realize that whatever misery is coming is simply burning off your past sinful activities, and it's not a disturbance. You can tolerate that kind of misery. Otherwise, if you think I'm part and parcel of this world and I'm meant to enjoy, then you'll be very unhappy. We're coming past the end of our time. Is that correct? 9:30? Okay. Let me move on. You can see this is an unlimited topic. We're just taking a quick swipe at it, but it's very exciting. It's as deep as the ocean. I'm going to give you a couple of ideas about how to distribute a book on its own merit, okay? Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay, here's how. First of all, our prime directive is leave everyone with a good impression. What's our prime directive?
Leave everyone with a good impression.
That's easy. You know, if you go out or stay in, if you're in and your idea is I'm going to make a good impression with everyone in my family today, everyone at the office, everyone at the temple, you're going to be in the proper frame of consciousness for Sankirtan. Krishna says, one who is a kind friend to all living entities is very dear to me. So live your life like that. This is what Sankirtan means. It's not just going out. Sankirtan means going in also. It means how you live your life as an ambassador of goodwill. It means if you control your senses and you're peaceful, then you have something to give others. So we're in the service business. And our motto is always better service. What's our motto?
Always better service.
Here's Lord Krishna, our beloved Lord, and he's washing the feet of his devotee, Sudama. This is the mood coming from the spiritual world. It's service, service. Now, here's how to distribute books the easy way. You ready, or should I not show you this book? Should I show it?
Yes.
I'm not convinced.
Yes.
Okay, pick the right fruits. When you go to pick fruits from a tree, which ones do you pick fruit first? What about the green ones that are stuck on the vine? You grab them, right? You pull on the branch, right? You break the branch off, you drag it down the street. Am I right or not?
No.
I'm not convinced. Am I right?
No.
Am I right?
No.
No, Vaisheshika Das. Wrong. Bad. You pick the right fruits. You pick the right fruits first. That's easy. Everyone say, that's easy.
That's easy.
If you go to a tree and you see there's ripe fruits and you just pick them, they come off in your hand. That's easy. They were meant for you. That's what they're there for. They're a gift. So similarly, there's people who are ripe and there's people who are unripe. And let me show you this again. Here's a fellow who walked into the Ratha Yatra in New York, and look at his countenance. Ripe or unripe?
Ripe.
I put a little hint up here. Ripe or unripe?
Ripe.
Okay, now here you go. Here's a man talking to this poor brahmachari who wouldn't stop for about an hour. Ripe or unripe?
Unripe.
Okay. Ripe?
Unripe.
Unripe? Ripe. Now look at that. You can tell from a mile away. You can tell that's an unripe fruit, right? And you can tell that's a ripe fruit. That's what we call easy. So what we're looking for is ripe fruits. When you go to pick fruits, you pick the ripe fruits first. So if you go out and you just look for the right fruits, you'll have no problem. It's not a problem. We're not trying to convince everyone. We're not trying to grab the green fruit on the vine and break the branch and drag it down the street. We just want the right fruits. And this is Shastra. Ishvare tadadineshu balisheshu dvisatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakaroti samadhyamaha. The preacher is meant to show love for God, friendship for the devotees in appropriate ways, give mercy to the innocent, and avoid the envious. Doesn't that make your life easier and better? That applies to the outside world or the inside world. You're not obligated to deal with envious people. The first rule of dealing with fanatics, don't. That's the only rule. Now, our mood is we are Krishna's instruments. When you're just an instrument, it's easy. If you're doing it on your own behalf, then it's very difficult. But this is easy. Our mood, we remain humble and hungry. We go out for self-purification. We do service for service's sake. We save one soul at a time, beginning with ourselves. Everyone say this. I save one soul. Yeah, they do this on the airline when they tell you, first give it to yourself, then give it to your child, right? So if you, like there's a rule in paramedic school, a dead paramedic can't save anyone. So they tell you to save yourself before you try to go in and rescue people. This goes along with strong sadhana. Leave everyone with a good impression and treat people with respect. Offer kind words. Focus on teamwork. Here's a team we started in North Carolina last year. And they went from doing like 1,000 books a year or something like that. In their first year, they broke over the 10,000 mark. I forget what their goal was. 7,500 books? It was a gigantic increase. Through teamwork, you can do so much. Develop the habit of expressing sincere gratitude and thanks for people that you meet, live with, and associate with. This is the mood of Sankirtan everywhere you go. Preaching means giving. Don't be condescending. Express empathy. Practice reflective listening. And make people feel special because they are. And here's Prabhupada, the greatest ambassador of goodwill of all times. He embodied all of these. So he said there's sufficient merit in our books that if you simply describe them sincerely, anyone will buy. And that's a fact. Here's the Bhagavad Gita, and here's how to do it. I'm going to go through this really quickly because we're out of time. First is radar. You have to use radar. Now, I'm going to teach you how to use your radar. Hold up your hand. Point it at somebody. Now, I'm going to tell you the mantra to activate your radar. Are you ready? Hi!
Hi!
You've got to say it a little more enthusiastic, though. Point your radar, and now say, hi!
Hi!
Now, when you do this, it's very powerful. Anywhere you go, if you hold up your radar and you say, hi! You're going to get a feedback. Just like this policeman, when he shoots that gun, he gets a reading on his little dial, and it tells how fast the person's going, what speed, everything. So when you hold up your hand and you say, hi, some people go like, mm-mm-mm. Other people say, hi. They're like totally open. They'll expose what their mood is. It comes right out of their heart because you shoot a beam right out of your hand and it'll hit them, and you can do it from across the street. I do this all the time. On one side of the street, I see someone and I go, hi. And then that reading comes back to me. And what do I know? Ripe fruit or unripe fruit? I can tell whether they're ripe or unripe. In Japan, all the time, what they do, if you say hi and they're not interested, they go like this. They cover their eyes. And there are many different varieties and different cultures the way people do it. But eyes means conscious contact. And you can tell this is a conscious way. You make a conscious contact with somebody, say hi. And as soon as you do that, you can tell where they're at. And if they're not a ripe fruit, let them go. Make your life easy. If they're a ripe fruit, now you're in business. Next thing is qualify. So before you just go up and hand somebody a book, you want to qualify them. Are you from New Jersey or are you from out of state? Easy question, because either answer is right. They say, I'm from New Jersey, perfect, I'll show you this book. I'm from out of New Jersey, perfect, I'll show you this book. But if you qualify them first by asking a question, then they feel that they deserve it, rather than just thrusting it at them. Don't just thrust it. The next thing is trust the hand. You see, this is Shailesh handing over a book, and see the woman's hand? That's controlled by a demigod. Even if the mind says, no, don't do it, the hand will go, I'll take it. So get used to handing it over. Put the book in their hand so that they can actually hold the Bhagavad Gita. And as we're handing it over, we use a mantra. Many mantras, thousands of mantras. Here's one that works really well. Repeat after me. Books on yoga and meditation. Books show you how to get free from stress.
Books
on yoga and meditation.
Books on yoga and meditation.
That show you how to get free from stress. Practice that. So you can say it over and over and over again until you have it down as a mantra. Because when you're handing the book over and you have a mantra to say, you'll feel very, very confident. And it's a mantra that works. And if somebody wakes you up at 1 o'clock in the morning and says, what's the mantra? You'll say? Yes, that's where you want to be with this mantra. Really conversant. Next thing is, as soon as you hand the book over, you ask a question, because a question is a hook, and that's what keeps the conversation going your direction. You pull them along with the hook, which is a question mark. And so I say, you've heard of stress before, right? And what do people say?
Yes.
Usually they say yes. Sometimes they say no, but it doesn't matter, because the next thing that comes out will accommodate either one. So they say, you've heard of stress before, right? And they say, yeah, of course I've heard of stress, right? And I say, really, you don't look stressed at all? What's your secret? I'll say that your eyes look spiritual, or you look spiritual. You don't look stressed. And if they happen to say, after I say, you've heard of stress before, right? And they say, no, I'm not stressed at all. And I say, I know, I could tell, you really don't look stressed. What's your secret? Either way, it works. Now, this question is very, very powerful. Earlier I said, don't condescend. This question is the opposite of condescending. When you ask people, what's your secret, you're actually approaching them as they have something to offer. Not that you're coming to preach to them, you're coming to save them, you're coming to tell them. People don't like that. Conditioned souls are not into that. They're into, you know, sharing what's in their heart and being the authority. And if you say, what's your secret? They will tell you something profound about themselves. And if they don't, then you can help them along. Because sometimes people say, I don't know, I don't have a secret. You can say, you just come from a good family, right? And they say, no, I don't. And you say, you're just a natural. Okay, I'll take that. Whatever you say. But some people tell you, I do yoga, I believe in God, I have a good outlook on life. And whatever they say, I say, I knew it. I could tell by looking at you. And that's when I take the book back out of their hand, and then it's show and tell. And show and tell is easy, because all you have to do is show them what's in and on the book and explain it to them. In sales companies, they give you a flip book to sell a product, right? Anybody ever sold anything? They give you a flip book. They say, just follow the dots, follow through, and you'll sell the ball peen hammer. And you just take the ball peen hammer and say, sir, look at this. This is made of the best steel in the world. It comes from these trees that are in the Amazon. They don't exist anymore because we cut them all down. It goes through the whole thing. And you explain it and said, at the end, this ball peen hammer will break anything in the universe. And it goes, sold, I'll take it. So the books that we have, they're not only the manual, they're the product itself. It's all in one. So you have the flip book, and you have the product in one unit, and that's all you need. So we say, here, I'll show you really quick. That's when I'm taking the book back from them, and I always say, really quick. Everyone say, really quick.
Really quick.
Because in their mind, they're thinking, I got to go. I got 20 million emails to answer. I got to cook dinner. The light's changing. You know, the motor passion is grabbing them. So you say, here, I'm going to show you
really
quick. You're not there all day. You're not giving a Bhagavatam class. You're going to show them as quickly as you can. And now here's the first thing. On the back cover, we have Thoreau, Gandhi, Emerson. Now, I add these extra ones in because these are people who have read the Bhagavad Gita and these names are powerful. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Einstein, and don't forget the Beatles. So these are six names you can just throw out there and it adds credibility. You'll see their confidence in the book that you're offering them growing as soon as you say these names. Next, you open to the first page and you show them these endorsements, University of Southern California, Georgetown University. Covers the East Coast, West Coast. And if they know anything about the university system, they'll respect these schools. Next, we show them the picture, changing bodies. Now, this is profound for people who have seen it the first time, who are seeing it for the first time. And I say, look, we start here, we end up here, we're just passing through. We start here, we end up here, we're just passing through, and then I say, where are you in all this? And let them participate a little bit. So they'll look at it, and they'll say, oh, I don't know, and then say, then, you know, the guy will say, I'm here. And then if he's with his family, they'll go, no, you're not daddy, you're over here. And then, and I ask them this question, you've heard of karma, right? And they say, yeah, what does it mean to you? And then whatever they say, I say, whoa, that's a great explanation. I really appreciate whatever they say. So people say, you know, what goes around comes around. Whoa, that's a really good way to put it. I'm appreciating how they understood karma. And the next is, I show them this picture. Look, here it is graphically. Violence breeds violence. Generosity breeds generosity. And then I ask them, what do you do professionally? So they'll say, I'm a civil engineer, I'm a Sunday school teacher, I'm a dancer. And I say, really, this guy used to be a civil engineer. Really, this guy used to be a Sunday school teacher. This guy was a dancer. And 50% of the people laugh as soon as I say that. And the other 50% look at me and they go, really? And I say, no, not really. And then they laugh. And then I hand the book back to them just after they laugh. And I said, we don't sell these books like in a bookstore. We just take a donation. It costs $10 to print. Anything you give over $10 is a donation. And then they give. And there may be some negotiation in between. They may say, I don't have any money, and so forth. I explain to them, when you give in return for spiritual knowledge, you get good fortune and the power to read and understand the book. I say, that's why we ask for the donation. We don't need the money. The only reason you ask, when you donate, you connect a circle and you get the power to read and understand the book. And I tell them, this is why we're doing it, to spread love for God, to help people who are suffering in ignorance. Be very straightforward about what you're doing this for. And then, after they buy the book, I always teach them the Maha Mantra. And here's how. I say, you believe in the power of prayer, or do you believe in the power of prayer? Do you all believe in the power of prayer?
Yes.
Yes. So they say, now, this is a little hard to pronounce. It's from the Sanskrit language. I'm going to say it one time, and that way you'll know how to do it, so you can repeat after me. Are you ready?
Yes.
So that's how I do it. I tell them, and I said, are you ready? And then they go, okay. And they say, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Teach people this mantra. I told you two things. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, chant Hare Krishna, teach it to others. When you get in the habit of teaching people the whole Maha Mantra, you'll find it's very powerful. The next day when you're chanting japa, you'll feel ecstasy from Lord Nityananda himself. Prasadam. Distribute tons of prasadam. There's no reason on earth not to distribute prasadam. You should always have prasadam. These are actually the lunch bags for all the Sankirtan devotees going out at ISV. They're all packaged so they can take out a bag lunch. But they take out lots of prasadam. They give it out profusely. Everywhere you go, give prasadam. It's the key to success in the Sankirtan movement. And get their contact information. And thank everyone for taking their valuable time. And our prime directive, again, is?
Leave everyone with a good impression.
And I hope that I've left you with a good impression tonight, and I thank you very much. Go premanande
arivo!
This time, Edison P. John. Go premanande
arivo!
One last thing. I know I'm over, but I have to show you this. I forgot. These are sets. I'll go into them another time. You can sell sets. These are other languages. Here's a resource, fanthespark.com. There's a book distribution link where you can get a lot of information. There's now a website called ISKCON Book Distribution on Desire Tree. And these are comebacks. I don't have time for them right now. At another time. We have a mandate in North America this year to increase book distribution by 20%. Everyone's in on it. All the temple presidents were very enthusiastic about doing it again this year. And the theme last year was get the 20%. This year the theme is tax your brain. these are some examples of temples who have been applying these principles that we're talking about. San Jose remittance to the BBD since 2008 has been on a steady rise. Here's Chicago in 1 year, Philadelphia. Let's hear it. Washington, D.C., on the upswing. Toronto, Vermont, phenomenal increases. Los Angeles, increases. Austin, Texas. So this year it's called Tax Your Brain, because there's lots of ways to increase book distribution. You just have to think about it, and that's Prabhupada's phrase. So that, and I have, we're distributing all over the world these wristbands. They say, get 20% more and tax your brain. And when you wear this purple wristband, it means you're in the, you're on the team for increasing book distribution. You see all over the world when you're watching ISKCON Mayapur TV, you'll see temple presidents and devotees, sannyasis, everyone wearing these wristbands. That's what they are. I just happen to bring a few tonight. For any of you that like a wristband, I'll give it to you later. And remember that book distribution is fun and easy. Thank you. Hare Krishna.